Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 3 of our study of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2nd Peter 1, 10 through 15. Well, thank you for joining me on the 10-week Bible study. If this has been a blessing to you, I want to throw a plug for our Patreon page. If you've asked yourself, how can I support what the 10-week Bible is doing? You can check us out over there. Links are in the description. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts. Fill us with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And if you receive a rich welcome, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we are referencing yesterday's passage where Peter is saying, you know, add to your faith goodness and self-control and godliness, all these things. Peter's saying, listen, if you make every effort to do this, you will receive a rich welcome. That is so powerful. So many people don't think much about eternity. They're not sure what's on the other side of this veil that we call life. And to be sure, the Bible at times does not give us just a tremendous amount of information about that, but it does give us enough to understand what's coming. And there are realities to eternity. We're not going to be floating on a cloud, holding a harp, bored to tears for all eternity. Many people don't think about eternity because that's the mental image they have, is that we're going to get wings and white clothes and a harp and a little cloud to sit on. They've got this idea of what I call Hallmark Christianity. You know, little mental images that were on the covers of cards that do make for pretty cards, but not good theology. And they don't want to think about eternity because it sounds terrifying. Because who wants to sit on a cloud with a harp strumming it for all eternity? That sounds incredibly boring. And if that's what you think about eternity and you think that sounds boring, then you'd be right, because that would be horribly boring. But there is no description in Scripture about eternity that sounds anything like that, not even remotely. The Bible over and over again makes eternity sound absolutely amazing. And what I like to say is that eternity, how we will spend it, is not completely different or not completely other than what we experience now. It's completely better than what we experience now. In a lot of ways, it's going to be familiar, in that we will have physical bodies. We will be here on the earth. We won't be floating on clouds. Now, maybe there'll be some like cool, I don't know, Super Mario Brothers style clouds we can float on. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. But for the most part, our feet are still going to walk one step at a time. We're going to set our feet on solid ground and walk. We will eat. We will drink. We will experience all the same things that we do now without the burden of sin and death and pain. Those things will be gone. Everything else will be the same. So for the most part, it's a heightened experience of what we experience now. I mean, heightened by a billion times, to say the least. And so thinking on eternity is valuable, because what Peter is saying here is add to yourself all of these things, add to your faith, add to your salvation all of these things, and you do them and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. And that does not mean that God is going to give you a little bit nicer harp to be bored with for all eternity. Maybe you'll get a harp. I don't know. Maybe you want a harp. I'm sure there's, you know, we can have any hobbies we want to nowadays in the United States. So I'm sure some of you listening to me, maybe like, hey, a harp kind of sounds cool. But I don't think many people are going to be getting harps per se, but you will receive a rich welcome. And if you read through and think about eternity, this is an exciting prospect. Imagine getting a rich welcome by God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the host of angels and the saints that are waiting for us there. Imagine how glorious and amazing that would be to receive this rich welcome into eternity. I think that's a beautiful statement. Verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So Peter is saying, hey, I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys get this stuff. I've seen you walk it out, but this is important. This is so important that I don't mind beating a dead horse, so to speak, over these issues, because they are so important. He's going to refresh their memory as long as he's alive. And then he gives us a little sneak peek into a prophetic word of sorts, where he says, you know, I'm in this tent of the body, but I know I'm about to die. That's what he's saying. I'm about to die because Jesus has made it clear to him. And so he has some kind of prophetic revelation. It doesn't seem like what he's saying here is, hey, in the sense of we're all dying and our bodies are all decaying and death is imminent. That doesn't seem like what he's saying. It seems like he's saying, I know that my days are numbered as of right now. And we know from the book of John, there's almost like an epilogue to the book of John. It's the last chapter of the Gospel of John is kind of an epilogue. The second to last chapter, when you read it, you see it seems like a conclusion. And then there was almost like it was added later, this extra chapter. And one of the stories told in that extra chapter is where Peter is talking to Jesus, and Jesus prophesies to him that he is going to die on a cross just like he did. And Peter is a little troubled by that in that passage. And we see the information that goes back and forth there. And we've discussed that in our podcast on the book of John. So I encourage you to check that out if you're interested. But Peter knows, I think, here specifically, not just generally the generic prophecy that Jesus told him that one day someone's going to lead him around by the hand and stretch his arms out as on a cross to die, which we know from church history that Peter did die on a cross in Rome at the hand of Emperor Nero. But I don't think that it's talking about that general prophecy that's going to happen someday, but a more specific prophecy that Peter's received from the Lord, maybe a dream or maybe some kind of confirmation from a prophetic person in his midst, where he knows that, hey, this is about to happen. It's coming soon. Like in the next months or years here, it's imminent at this point, and he understands that. And so he's saying, this, what I'm saying here is so important that I know I'm about to die. And there's probably lots of important things that I could tell you, but this right here, you already know it. And I have to remind you, it's so important, because adding all of these things to our Christian walk and receiving and thinking about receiving the rewards of entering eternity like this, and actually thinking about receiving those rewards and that rich welcome, it's so important that I remind you that this is real. You have to know this, that I'm about to die, and this is what I want to spend my effort, my ink, to remind you of. In verse 15, he says, even after I'm dead. Again, this is my paraphrase here, that even after I'm dead, I'm going to see to it that you will always remember these things. It's unclear what he means there. I don't know how he is going to remind them after they're dead, other than this letter. Maybe he's having, other emissaries from the church, you know, continue to write in this vein. Maybe he's instructing people to constantly remember this, constantly remember, add to yourself godliness and holiness and righteousness. maybe that's what he's talking about, or, you know, maybe his prayer is, Lord, you know, even after I'm gone, send them people. Maybe this is a prayer that he's praying continually for these people. I don't fully know what he means by this, but I don't think it's just a platitude. I don't think it's just a nice thing to say that, you know, I'm going to make every effort after my departure, after I'm dead, to make sure that you remember these things. We say a lot of things as Americans, maybe Westerners. We say a lot of things that we sort of mean, but we don't fully intend to follow through on, because how could we, you know? A lot of times it's like people move away. Hey, let's keep in touch, you know, and you do your best sometimes, but really you just, what you mean by that is, let's not take this friendship where we've met together all the time and then continue like the same amount of time over the phone. Like, nobody wants that. You know, if you've had a friendship like that, more power to you. But for the most part, you know, we can't continue the depth and the level of friendship over the phone. And so we say things like that. We don't really mean, like, we're going to stay in touch. we're not going to stay in touch to the level that we have been. Maybe we continue to communicate one way or another, but we're not going to, we don't have the effort or the time or the physical ability to maintain that level of connection when someone moves away. And so what we mean by that, we're saying something other than what we mean. What we mean is, hey, I really like you and I'm going to miss you. And let's do talk from time to time, but we're not setting any time limit on that. And it may not happen, but just know that I really like you. That's what we mean. And I don't think that's what Peter is saying here. I think he's got something specific in mind. Maybe he's working some plans. Maybe the Lord has given him some strategies on how to do this, but I think it's real. I think he's actually thinking, I'm going to do whatever I can after I'm dead to make sure you remember what I've just told you here. And I think that's powerful. And I think that so often, you know, we're thinking, Peter is thinking about leaving a legacy of teaching to them. So I want you to remember this above everything else. And I think that that is something that we should commit to our lives as well. When we're gone, how will people remember us? And not only that, when we're gone, will people remember what we said? Will there ever be something that we've taught them that's so important that even after we're dead, that we've left them a means to remember that? I don't think that's such a bad thing to be intentional to think through. I think that's what Peter's doing here. And I think we could do the same for our fellow believers in our church, for our wives, for our children, our grandchildren, even our great grandchildren, generations to come. I think that's wise. And I encourage you, if you have the means and the ability to do something like that, I encourage you to do it. We've come to the end of our passage today for the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.